I hope you have your Bible or you have one nearby, or you can follow us on your favorite Bible app. But let's find Romans chapter 8 to get started. Romans chapter 8. So we're kind of in a series of messages that we've called good news for a sin-sick world. Our world needs good news. Amen. We desperately need to hear good news every day. So that's why I've challenged you to memorize these six statements. I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Savior is my brother. And every Christian is my brother and my sister. We're not in this alone. We have a Savior who loves us and calls us by name, and we have brothers and sisters who are online with us right now. Maybe someone shared this video, and that's how you found this worship together today. You need to know that you're not alone in this. And here's what I want to invite you to do. Several weeks back, maybe a couple of months ago, I heard this song, and it captured my heart. And there's been times in these days especially that I've come back to it, and I've worshiped with it. In my car, in my study. Listen to these words. I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. There's no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. I run to the Father again and again and again. That's what I want you to do. I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, needs someone to fix it and make it right. My soul needs a friend. I run to the Father. And you can run to Him again and again and again this week. Would you do that? I invite you to run to the Father. And that's what we want to do right now. Because God is our Father. Let's just say it together. Even though you're in your room, say it with me. God is my Father. If nothing else, just type it in the comments. But make that your declaration. If you haven't shared the video, share this video and say, God is my Father. Declare it by faith today. Because here's what we need to know. I read this week. Marshall Segal wrote, how quickly or subtly have we missed or forgotten the fatherhood of God? Have we forgotten the fatherhood of God? As we've waded into the Godhead, we often spent far more time on the distinctions of the Son and the Holy Spirit, almost collapsing the Father into oneness of God. And here's the other thing. As we're talking about this today, don't confuse your Father in heaven with fathers on earth. Don't confuse the Father in heaven with fathers on earth. I know I'm talking to some people right now, and your father disappointed you, your father hurt you, your father discouraged you, your father never told you that he loved you, your father abandoned you. But I want you to come in here close, and I want you to hear me. Don't confuse your Father in heaven with fathers on earth. You may have even had the greatest father a person can imagine, but I still want you to, I want you to tune in with me. Think about this today. He could have pardoned us. He could have said, you're not guilty. You're not guilty for your sins anymore. He could have removed the penalty of sin and stopped there. He could have just pardoned us, but he didn't. And we're going to see that today. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8. Let's read just these few verses to get us started. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 12. If your Bible's open, I want you to say word. If your Bible's open right now, just say word. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors to the flesh. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You hear what Paul's saying? He's saying, run to the Father, fall into grace. His arms are open wide, ready to receive you. There's no reason to wait today. Your heart needs a surgeon. Your soul needs a friend. Run to the Father again and again, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I want you to notice in those few verses, there are two wonderful promises. Two wonderful promises. Look at verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons and daughters of God. And then in verse 16 and 17, that we are children of God. And notice in verse 17, he gives this conditional sentence, if children, then heirs. He's already affirmed and declared that we are children. So if we are children of God, then we are heirs. We are heirs. Heirs because we are children. Would you write that down? Heirs because we are children. But then look at the end of verse 17. Notice, we're going through dreadful days. Hopefully doesn't happen for another 100 years or more. We go to the store and don't know if we're going to find what we need, what we want. It feels like a sci-fi. I was walking into the store last night with my mask on, gloves on my hand, and saw other people walking with mask on, and I thought, what is this world we're living into? But notice, we're going through suffering now, but suffering now leads to glory later. Suffering now leads to glory later. So here is what I want to ask today. What are the blessings? What are the benefits of adoption? You say, so it's great that I run to the Father. Why should I run to the Father today? Well, what does it mean that I'm an heir of God? I'm an heir of God, but I still have to struggle to find flour or rice or mead on the pantry shelves. What are the blessings of being a son and a daughter of God? Why do we have a good Father? Well, I want to look at seven of these today, so I hope you'll track with me. Seven of these. None of them should really surprise you. None of them should be earth-shattering, but I hope that they are reminders, because I think Marshall Segal's right. I think in a lot of ways we've forgotten the fatherhood of God. So you ready to go? If you're ready, say amen. Number one, the first blessing, he brings us into his family. He brings us into his family. What is the orphan's greatest need? To have a family. To have a mother and a father. That's their greatest need. But what does the orphan have to provide? The orphan only has to provide love. He can't give money. She can't give a home or resources. She only can provide love in response to the family that has welcomed her in. He calls us his own. He invites us. He says, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. And then he says in verse 15, by whom we cry. So the spirit of adoption is within us, making us sons and daughters of God, and that enables us to cry out then and call him Abba, Father. So we relate to God as Father. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, see, look at this, don't miss this, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. What can the orphan give? The orphan can only give love. To be adopted is not a feat to be achieved. It is a gift to receive. We shared that on Wednesday night. John says, see what love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God, and so we are. It's a fact today that we can rest in. Secondly, he gives us many good gifts. He gives us many, Not just some, not just a few. He gives us many good gifts. Look at verse 17. If we are children, then heirs. We have a great inheritance in heaven. He promises us that we have a great inheritance. He knows our need. In your notes is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, or you can write it down and look at it later. But Jesus says, if then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now notice, Jesus didn't pay us any compliments because Jesus knows our hearts. And he says, you moms, you dads, you give good gifts, even though on the inside you are prone to fail. You are prone to evil. You are prone to do wrong. He said, but you're still able to give good gifts. How much more if you have a Father who is perfect and holy and just and impartial, will he not give many good things? That's why in these days I've called us back to praying the Lord's Prayer together every day. What is the first request? Personal request in that song, in that prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. He doesn't say give us this week's bread. Remember the children of Israel? They had manna. Manna for every day. They had to trust God every day to provide. And he provides even in the wilderness of life. He showed us through Israel's example that he can provide even through the coronavirus, even through the COVID-19, that whatever you're going through right now, it may feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. God can provide and will provide for you there. What are the many good gifts that God gives us? He gives us rest. He gives us refreshment. He gives us restoration. He gives us righteousness. He gives his goodness and his mercy. Remember, those are the things that we saw in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He gives many good gifts. But listen, there is a great gift. There is one great gift that he gives to every believer, every son, every daughter of God. Luke 11:13, Jesus says in a similar passage, if then you who are evil... Hey, welcome to church today. If you wondered, yes, husband, yes, wife, yes, mom, yes, dad, yes, you are evil, but we have a good Father. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You don't have to walk this alone. You may be in your own house right now. You may be in your living room. You're not in this room with me, but God will give you the Holy Spirit in abundance. Day after day after day, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift the Father can give us along with salvation. He gives us himself, the Spirit of God. Look back at Romans 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. He gives us himself. Did you know Jesus called God Father over 200 times, over 200 times, and he invites his people, he invites his followers to call God our Father. You know, when I was in college, I was at Hardin-Simmons University, and my preaching professor, Dr. James Shield, enjoyed picking on me. I know that's hard for some of you to imagine. You can't imagine how anybody would pick on me, unless you were John, Greg, or Lisa right now. But he asked me a question. I had to read this. We were practicing public scripture reading, and he was asking me about calling God our Father, and I had made some comment, and it was in that moment that I realized that in all of the Old Testament, Israel is never invited to call God our Father. But that's what Jesus does. Third, he works it out. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. For some of you, verse 28 is one of those verses you claim in these times, right? Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Let me ask you, friend, has there ever been a time in your life when you didn't know what to pray? when you didn't know how to pray, when you didn't have the words to pray because your heart was too heavy. Look at verse 26. Verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit himself intercedes for saints according to the will of God, according to the purpose of God, according to the pleasure of God. Verse 28, and we know, do you know this today? That for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, not Donald's purpose, not Lisa's purpose, not Greg's purpose, not John's purpose, God's purpose. Verse 29, for those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. You see, he works it out. We don't know how coronavirus fits in the plan of God. But we have this assurance that he is working it out. If we love him, if we're called according to his purpose today, God is working it out. He hasn't walked away. He hasn't left us. Let me ask you, have you ever been successful in working a Rubik's Cube? You remember the Rubik's Cube? All those multicolors? John is raising his hand. I have never been able to. Maybe I'll get John to teach me. I have never been able to do that. I've been tempted to get one of those that you can replace the stickers on. But you know, sometimes my life feels like that Rubik's Cube, right? Sometimes I can't twist it. I can't get it to work out on my own. But God can. Some of you during these days of isolation and quarantine are working together puzzles. And don't you hate it when you're working a puzzle and you're down to the last piece and you can't find it? Here you've got this wonderful masterpiece except for one piece, but God works it out. Next, in Hebrews chapter 12, he corrects and he comforts. Now this may not feel like a benefit, a blessing all the time, but listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. It is for discipline you have to endure. God is treating you as sons and daughters. For what son is there that a father doesn't discipline? Discipline is a sign of his love. Discipline is a sign that he is our father. He says in verse 9, besides all this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? John Piper says, even if you've had the very best father, you still have a good thing coming. God is 10,000 times better than your good father. The difference between a good earthly father and a bad earthly father is a millimeter. But the difference between God and an earthly father is infinite. The difference between God and an earthly father is infinite. But the writer of Hebrews says we respect fathers on earth for disciplining us. But here's something else. Not only does he correct us, but he comforts us. Fathers, mothers, what do you do when you correct a child? Don't you come in later and reaffirm? You should. I love you. Nothing you can do can take my love away from you. Zephaniah chapter 3 says, on that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. You got that picture of that dad who's drawn that child close to him and quieting the child just with his presence, even singing over him, rejoicing over him. The fifth blessing, he meets our needs. Do you have a need today? A need for peace? A need for God's love? For his nearness? Listen to Jesus again in Luke 12. For all the nations of the world seek after these things. Every person on this planet today needs love, needs affirmation, needs acceptance. Jesus says, your Father knows you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom and these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In Matthew 10, he says, he knows even the hairs on your head. Imagine that every day God says 1, 2, 3. For some of you, he stops at 10. But every day, if he knows something as insignificant as the hairs on your head, do you think he's ignorant of the cries of your heart? Think about that. Jesus says, you're not like the nations. You have a Father. Elizabeth Cheney wrote a poem that I've reflected on many times, and I've heard preachers share it. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father to care for them as you and me. Said the robin to the sparrow, I wonder why these human beings, why are they so frustrated? Why are they so frenetic? Why are they so worried? So the sparrow says to the robin, surely it must be. They have no heavenly Father that cares for them as you and me. But you have a Father. You're not like the other nations. You're not like the other people. You have a Father who knows your name and knows your need and meets your needs. The sixth blessing, he welcomes us back again and again. I run to the Father. There's no reason to wait. Now I'm done with the hiding. I fall into grace. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. You've blown it today. You think that everyone is done with you. Let me tell you, God is welcoming you back. Millard Erickson, a great systematic theologian, says, we need not be worried then that God will discard us when we stray. If he clung to Israel through all of their iniquity, as we read in the Old Testament, he will be patient with us as well, showing persistent, faithful, loving kindness. If he was patient with them, he will show us persistent, patient, faithful loving kindness. If there is a reason to say amen, if there's a reason to shout, if there's a reason to declare God is a good Father, that has to be it. He welcomes us back again and again, even though we failed, even though we've walked out on him. Just ask David. Here he was, a man after God's own heart. God had taken him from the sheepfold and put him into the palace. And he cheated. He stole another man's wife. He stole another man's family. But God welcomed David back. Just ask Jonah. God had a plan, had a mission for Jonah to take good news to people who desperately wanted it in Nineveh. And Jonah ran the opposite way. But God rescued him with a fish. He welcomed Jonah back. Just ask Peter. Peter denied Jesus. Imagine being betrayed by one of your friends. Imagine being rejected by one of your friends. Jesus welcomed Peter back with open arms. Just ask the prodigal son. Spend time in Luke 15. He wanted nothing to do with his father's house, but he never left the father's heart. Because as the young man left the pig pens and came back and was walking back to the house, even before he got back to the house, the father was looking and the father was waiting when no one else did. That older brother didn't go and try to find that son. They knew what would happen with his life. They knew how he would shipwreck it. But the father was waiting and saw, because he never left the father's heart, even though he left the father's home. In Luke 15, Jesus tells us, the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. Why? For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Did you hear? Did you hear what the man said? This my son. He welcomes us back again and again. But last, oh, the last benefit, I hope you're still with me. If you're with me, say amen. He never lets go. He never lets go. Look at the first words of Romans chapter 8. Look at the first words. Look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 1. Notice what Paul writes. There is now no. When he wrote that 2,000 years ago, today, April 26, 2020, there is now, today, no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are a child of God, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God does not condemn you today. It was dealt with at the cross. Now look at verse 29. Look at the last words of Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 39, excuse me. Look at verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation leads to no separation. No condemnation means no separation, now or ever. We are now and we will be then with God. You cannot undo what God has done and is doing and will do. Jesus said in John chapter 10, talking about the good shepherd, and he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I call them by name. And then he says in verse 28, listen to this. I give them eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. We don't earn it. Nothing we do earns that. God gives us eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Boy, that's good enough right there. But then listen to verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Jesus says, we're firm. We're right here. He says, you name someone that is greater than the Father, and no one and nothing can take us out of God's hand. He never lets go. It's not my grip on God that counts. It's God's grip on me. Imagine your father, a mother, walking with your child down the busy streets of New York City. It's the first time you've been there. It's the first time they've been there. You're getting ready to cross Wall Street. You're getting ready to cross the street in Times Square. You got all these cars, all these taxis. Do you let that child just casually hold on to your hand? No, that child isn't holding on to your hand. You're holding on to that child's hand, and you're not going to let that child's hand go. We're in something much more dangerous than downtown New York City. We're in this place called life, and God is not going to let us go. Max Lucado writes, if we can't earn our adoption by our stellar performance, can we lose it through poor performance? If we didn't earn it by our performance, can we lose it by poor performance? And the answer is no. I have a challenge for you this week. Would you take each one of these blessings? How many are there? 7. Would you take a blessing each day this week, and would you run to the Father and reflect on it? Chew on it. Meditate on it. Think about it. That He has welcomed me into His family. What does that mean today? Think about it as you go to sleep so that when you wake up, you're reminded of it again and again. Take each blessing and think on it. He is a good, good Father. So why should we run to Him today? You know, one of my heroes is Corrie Ten Boom. And I've said for years that I'm going to spend the first 1,000 years with Corrie Ten Boom and the next 1,000 years with Fanny Crosby. And then may do it all over again and again. Corrie Ten Boom shares a story. She was riding on a train with her dad. And she had a question that was on her mind. She asked him how children were conceived. Not the question that a dad wants to answer to his young daughter, I'm sure. So her father stood up and he took out the suitcase. You see, they had gone to the city to buy parts for watches and clocks that he repaired. So he brought out the suitcase and handed it to Corey. "Will you carry it off the train?" Now, try as she might, she couldn't pick up this suitcase that was filled with spare parts. And she looked at her dad and she said, "I can't." Casper looked at his daughter and said, "It would be such a bad father to expect his child to carry such a heavy load." "It's the same way, Corey," he said, "with our Heavenly Father. Some knowledge is too heavy for children. When you're older and stronger, you can bear it. For now, you must trust me to carry it and you." Come up here close, friends. We may not understand everything that we're facing right now. God knows when knowledge is too heavy for us. He's not being deceptive with us when he doesn't give us a full explanation. He's carrying our burdens. If we think the burdens we're carrying are too heavy, you should see the ones that he is carrying. The burdens he gives us to carry are light. So as you walk through these days, I want you to remember that you have a Father who carries your heavy burdens. So run to him again and again and again.